Good morning to all of you. A blessed Easter, even though our worship is, as we've been saying now for a couple of weeks, different than what we are used to, we still rejoice in the glorious promises of what this Easter Sunday is all about. We thank you for logging in and joining us as we lift our voices in praise to our Lord and to our God. Once again, the service is posted for you along with this video. We encourage you to open it up and follow along, even as you also follow with this video. And so we begin with that historic Easter greeting. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
We join in our hymn, the first four. We are opening. We join in our hymn, hymn 143. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. We pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you conquered death and opened the gate to eternal life. Grant that we, who have been raised with him through baptism, may walk in newness of life and ever rejoice in the hope of sharing his glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise, now and forever. Amen. We turn our attention to our lessons for this glorious Easter morning. Our first lesson takes us to the prophet Jonah. Perhaps you remember that Jonah's time in the fish was one of the symbols and one of the pictures that Jesus used to picture his time in the grave. So we hear Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish in Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. He said the following, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the belly of the grave I cried out, and you heard my voice. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas. The currents swept around me. All your breakers and your waves swept over me. I said, I have been driven away from your sight. Nevertheless, I will once again look toward your holy temple. Waters engulfed me so that I was near death. the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth locked me behind its bars forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forsake the mercy that is theirs. But I, with a shout of thanksgiving, will indeed sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will certainly pay in full. Salvation belongs to our God. This is the word of our Lord. Our second lesson is recorded for us in Colossians chapter 3. We rejoice in what Jesus' resurrection means to our life. Therefore, because you were raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This too is the word of our God. Even though we are gathering in our homes, we are used to standing for the gospel lesson, and so I encourage you to do that as we hear the Easter gospel recorded for us in Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled away the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. And look, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." They hurried away from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They approached, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers that they should go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. You hear that at the beginning of almost every sermon, at the beginning of our worship services, and this is the day why. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And so you and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have his grace, we have his mercy, we are buried in his peace because of our Lord and because of our Savior. We gather on this glorious Easter morning and we rejoice in the fact that we are undefeated. For the last 7 weeks, we've had an opportunity to use that word to guide us through our worship, all aiming at today. Because of today, we are indeed undefeated. And you think about all the things we've been talking about. Over the last 7 weeks, we've been undefeated by the law, the devil, skepticism, spiritual blindness, dysfunction, and death. We're undefeated because our Lord comes. We're undefeated because of his love. On Friday, we rejoiced in the fact that we are undefeated by sin. And now we come to that last great enemy, and you and I rejoice once again that we are indeed undefeated. Easter assures you and assures me we are undefeated by the grave. And so we focus our attention on our gospel for this morning from Matthew chapter 28, and we key in on those words that you hear twice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, the angel said. Do not be afraid, Jesus said. So on Easter Sunday morning, we are walking along with the women. The reality of all of this is beginning to set in. Jesus is dead. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's now the third day. That Sabbath day, that day of rest, has now come to an end, and so the women are making their way to the tomb to finish that hastily done job left on Friday, to finish the process of properly burying their Lord. And so they come to the tomb. They come to see their Lord. They come to see their dead Lord. All of this is just beginning to set in. And as they come, there's probably a little bit of fear. We know there was fear in the disciples. They were locked away on that first Easter Sunday. Perhaps these women were sharing some of those same fears. What's going to happen next? How are we going to continue on without our dear Lord and our friend Jesus? But now suddenly there's even more reason to be afraid. There's an earthquake. I have no idea if this area is prone to earthquakes or not, but that's the second one in 3 days. There was an earthquake on Friday. There was an earthquake on that day because God died. The Son of God cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished," and into His Father's hands He committed His Spirit. And when God died, there was an earthquake. Tombs were opened up. People hadn't seen those people yet, but it was a little preview of what was going to happen on Easter, certainly a preview of what is going to be taking place on the last day. And now here it is Sunday, and you've got another earthquake, and this time it's because God is alive. An angel comes down out of heaven. His face is appearing like lightning. His clothes are bright white. He comes down. He rolls the stone away. Those Roman soldiers who had been trained to be fearless, battle-tested, are so afraid they are scared stiff. They shake and they faint from fear, just like dead men. And then the angel speaks, not to the soldiers, but to the women. The angel says to them, "Do not be afraid." Well, they had plenty of reason to be afraid. There were all kinds of things going on that was scaring them. And now the angel says, "You don't have to be afraid anymore. Stop fearing. Stop doing what you're doing. Stop being afraid." Because I know what you're doing. I know why you're here. You're here to see Jesus. You're here to come and see the one who was crucified. And it's logical that you're here. This is the place where you last saw Him. He was crucified. Did you catch that? Jesus was dead. But now Jesus is alive. There's no reason for you to be here. Jesus is not at the tomb anymore. He has risen just as He said He was going to. Perhaps some of His words are now coming back to mind as He had been telling them, especially those last 6 months, "We're going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over. I'm going to die. But on the third day, I'm going to rise." Maybe those words are starting to come back. But Jesus isn't at the tomb anymore. He's not there. And so there's really no reason for the women to be at the tomb either. The job that they came to do doesn't need to be done anymore. Instead, they leave with a completely different job. The angel says, "Go. Go and tell. Go to His disciples. Go and tell them what He had told them already on Monday, Thursday evening, that He was going to go ahead of them into Galilee after that third day, after He rose. Go, run, tell those disciples that amazing news that He is not here. He is risen. Do not be afraid," the angel said. I suppose there are graves that you and I still visit. There are those loved ones, and we like going to those graves, we like going to those tombs. And as we stand there, and as we reread those dates, and perhaps look at the flowers that have been planted there or we placed there, there are some tears. A grave brings tears because we miss that loved one who's no longer with us. Perhaps there's a few tears of joy as well as fond memories come to mind as we remember some of the things that we did with them and the things that they said. But there's another reason why there's tears at a grave. This world is littered with cemeteries, dotted with graves. All across this world, there is the constant reminder that regardless of whatever we might convince ourselves of, there's going to be death. We might try to convince ourselves that there isn't anything after this life. We might try to convince ourselves that as long as we are comfortable with our decisions and with our actions, then we're probably okay. We might try to convince ourselves that Jesus is love, because the Bible says that, right? And so therefore, He's just going to love everybody, and so we're all fine anyway. We may try to convince ourselves we're doing the best that we can. We used the hand that was dealt to us and we did the best, and so therefore we get to be going into heaven. But grave and death reminds us that there's sin. No matter what I think about myself, no matter how I rewrite the words of God, a grave, my grave, tells me I'm not good enough. I am not perfect. I am not able to explain away what God created me to do. And since there is not perfection, since you and I do not measure up and we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing, we have to die. And so there's tears. Tears because that grave, my grave, means that buried there is a sinner. But this death changed all of that. This resurrection changed all of that. Our Lord and our Savior, yes, He died. He is the only one who didn't have to die. He is the only one who didn't have to go into that grave. He was absolutely perfect, and yet He died. He took that perfection, and He offered Himself as the sacrifice so that you and I can be atoned at one with our Lord and our God. Jesus went into that grave, and then He came out again. You and I, unless Jesus comes back first, will go into our graves. And as you and I visit those graves, the people who are buried there are still there for now. A time is coming when every one of those graves is going to be opened up, when every one of those graves is going to be emptied. And everyone is going to be standing before our Lord and our Savior, and you and me, His believers, who before we enter into that grave have learned who Jesus is and rejoice in what Jesus has done and marvel at the fact that my sin, your sin, completely paid for. It is finished. There's nothing left for you to do. Jesus' resurrection proves it. And now you will stand. You will leave your grave. You will be with Him in the glories of heaven forever. And so you and I rejoice. Stop being afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. No matter what this life throws at us, no matter what our own death may end up being like, the angel said, "Do not be afraid. In Christ we are undefeated. Undefeated by the grave." And so with a mixture of joy and fear, these women turn around, no longer worrying about finishing the job of burying Jesus. They've got a new job to do. It's time to go and tell the disciples. As they leave, reality is beginning to set in. He is not dead. He is risen. They didn't get very far when suddenly they're met by someone, Jesus. And I'm sure the words can't do justice to their facial expressions, to their cries of joy, to how they come up to Him, they approach Him, they hold on to His feet, they worship Him. It's Jesus! Jesus is there! They were expecting Him to be dead. They're expecting to finish burying Him, and there He stands. And they run up to Him, and they grab onto His feet, and they worship their living Lord and Savior. And then Jesus speaks. Greetings. That word carries a little deeper meaning than our simple hi. But it was a common greeting. It was regularly used. And so I'm picturing in my mind something along the lines of, all of a sudden you turn around and you see somebody there that you simply were not expecting to see. And they just say, hi. How understated and how powerful. Jesus greets these women. And then Jesus says, do not be afraid. The exact same thing that the angel said. They heard the angel say it. Now they hear Jesus say it. Jesus says, go and tell. Go to my brothers. Go to those disciples. Tell them to head to Galilee. I'll see them there. The angel has said that too. But now they hear Jesus say it. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. Jesus is clearly one. He is undefeated. Every single sin has been perfectly paid for. We know He did it because He is risen. He is risen indeed. He's alive. If sin hadn't been paid for, if Jesus hadn't done what He came to do, He would not be alive. He'd still be in that grave. Jesus is God. Has to be. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Only God can take the sin of an entire world on Himself, pay for it perfectly and completely, die, and then pick up His life again. He is clearly one. And now you cling to everything that Jesus says. You and I know that every promise is going to be kept just as He said. Because He's alive. He's risen. He is risen indeed. Every single promise will be kept. He's alive. That's what Easter is all about. He has clearly won. You have clearly won. That's also what Easter is all about. Our second lesson reminded you of your baptism. Reminded you of that time when you are wrapped in everything that Jesus is. When you were clothed in Christ and made His child. And that means you are now connected to Jesus. And maybe even better, Jesus is connected to you. You have clearly won. Jesus' life is your life. Everything that we have been talking about since Christmas, Jesus' birth, He grew, He learned, He lived, He worked, He ate, He drank, He slept, He wept, He taught, He loved, all of it perfectly. Not one bit of sin. That was the life God was looking for. That's the life God created in Eden, and that's the life God wanted from you and from me. Jesus is your life. All of that perfection in your baptism is given to you. No longer dead in sin, you now live. You live in that glorious perfection that is our Lord and is our God. You have clearly won. Jesus' death is your death. Yes, you and I are the ones who fell short. You and I are the ones who have failed. You and I are the ones who haven't measured up. We are the ones who should die eternally. And yet our Lord and our God died in our place. And now at your baptism, you have clearly won because in your baptism you died. God is looking at you as if you've already paid for every single sin. You've already died, already paid for that guilt. You are clearly a winner. Jesus' life is your life. I'm not repeating myself. We got another life coming. In fact, the moment of your baptism, your eternal life began, claimed by your Lord and your God. And now, just as Jesus is undefeated by the grave, so you and I are undefeated by the grave. That time will come, just as Jesus no longer is under the grips and under the effects of sin. He has defeated sin and death and Satan. Satan has no control and no attempt to derail him anymore. So a time is coming when we will live, and we too will be removed from all of Satan's attacks, and we will live forever with our Lord and with our God. Do not be afraid, Jesus says. You have clearly won. It's Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We rejoice in what He has accomplished for you and for me. We marvel at all those things that we are undefeated by, that we've been talking about over the last 7 weeks. And now we gather today. I pray that you are finding ways to make this Easter special. It's different. We are not worshiping it at all like we had intended to and like we had planned to. But it is still Easter. He is still risen. We do not need to be afraid because the angel said so, and even more so because Jesus said so. So I pray you're finding ways to connect with your family. I pray you are finding ways to encourage each other and be encouraged by each other. I pray that you are rejoicing in this day, whether you are gathered all by yourself, or maybe with one or two, or perhaps a little larger family, that you are rejoicing in what this day means to you. Do not be afraid. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Whatever is going on in our world around us does not change the fact that He is alive, and so you are undefeated. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Having heard the words of our Lord and our God, we join to confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We pray. Thanks be to You, O Lord, for giving us the victory through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, You have not forsaken us or left us to our own destruction, but kept Your ancient promise to send a Savior. We praise You for His perfect life, His innocent death, and His glorious resurrection. Because of Your faithfulness to Your promises, today is a day of victory. Savior Jesus, we praise You for carrying out God's plan of salvation. Your resurrection is undeniable evidence that You have triumphed over sin, death, hell, and the devil. Because of Your resurrection, today is a day of victory. Holy Spirit, we praise You that through the gospel You have led us to know and believe that Jesus is our risen Savior. Today we say confidently, as did the angel, He is not here, He has risen. Preserve us in faith. Raise us to newness of life. Continue to lavish on us the blessings of this day of victory. Triune God, kindle in our hearts a love for all people. Equip us with both the will and the words to tell others that Jesus has indeed risen from the grave. Use us to share the message of the empty tomb so that others too may rejoice in Jesus' Easter victory. Lord of life, comfort all who stand at death's door. Comfort all who mourn the loss of a loved one who has died in faith in the risen Savior. Today we ask for your blessing upon the family of John Schmaltz, the brother to Mary Dale, who passed away this past week and now is spending this Easter with you. Let that joyous resurrection comfort be with his family, as they now are saddened by their loss and the loneliness now, but look forward to that amazing victory that comes when his grave and all of our graves are opened on that last day and we rise just as you did. Comfort each of us with the assurance that because Jesus lives, we too will live. Remind us all that the death of a Christian is not a defeat. Because of Jesus, it is a day of victory. Lord Jesus, we also ask for your strength and comfort upon all who are suffering from depression and loneliness during this time. We ask that you would also be with all who are caring for them and encouraging them. Remind us, dear Lord, even as we are apart, that we are never alone because you are indeed risen, you are alive, and even the loneliness of this life you have defeated. Remind us again how undefeated we are in you. Thanks be to you, O Lord, for giving us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace, live in harmony with one another, serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Once again, a blessed Easter to all of you. Rejoice in the fact that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so all of God's people sing hallelujah on this day. Two things I'd like to highlight for you. You see them in your update. Just again, a reminder of the door offering for our students who are busy studying for the ministry. We're still ongoing with that. Feel free to mark it MLC door offering. Whatever we do collect is matched up to $1,000 by Martin Luther College, and so we are able to help out those students in that way. Also, thank you to all of you who gave the Easter lilies that you have seen here in the front of our church. You have the opportunity tomorrow, Monday, from 10 until noon, to swing by the church, pick up your Easter lilies so that you are able to enjoy it this week as well. Joyce will meet you at the door, and you can pick up your Easter lily then tomorrow. And so finally, just a thanks to everybody. There's all kinds of things going on behind the scenes. Thanks to our organists, thanks to our choirs, thanks to our videotapers and our editors, all of those people who are making these possible so that we can gather, we can worship, we can rejoice that he is risen. God's blessings on your day.